You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Big Mac hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like a bit. And I.
Morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to Real Talk Radio on 770 AM and 98.1 FM across all of Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my special guest co-host, tournament angler, owner, operator of Fish Dash Florida, Captain Steve Johnson. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Good morning, Captain Debbie. Thank you for having me, and good morning to all the Real Talk listeners this morning.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you back. Welcome back is what I actually should be saying.
Yeah,
this is your
awesome.
second day
appearance time in the studios here with you and Rick.
Yeah, I'm super excited to dive into some of the ICAST conversations because I know you and I just got back from Orlando. And we were up there checking out all the new products. And
it's always a fun time. It's kind of a candy show for the fishermen.
It's a really good way to put it. Yep. Yeah. Smaller this year than in years past, for sure. But I think we all expected that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there's a lot of manufacturers weren't there, and they've moved some things around. So, but it was a great show.
Yep, it was. It definitely was. We are coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in beautiful downtown Estero, Florida. We'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m., If you're not able to listen to the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows, no problem. Just head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page at ESPNSWFL.com. I'm going to run through the weather and tides this morning, and then we'll go ahead and open up the phone and text line. So if you were out there this past week, because Steve and I were not, go ahead and send us a text. Give us a call. Let us know how the bite was out there. Yeah, so heading into the weather, looks like we've got our typical summer weather patterns here. Today, Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, high near 90, winds west-northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. And then for tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., low around 75. We've got west winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And then heading into tomorrow, Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the morning, and then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. High near 90, south-southeast winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. And then for tomorrow night, Sunday night, we've got scattered showers and thunderstorms before midnight, partly cloudy, low around 76, light southeast winds. Chance of precipitation is 60%. So there's definitely some rain and some thunderstorms. Keep your eyes to the skies if you're planning on going out there this weekend. That's
should
for
be
sure.
A good weekend for fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some phenomenal outgoing tides on that waning moon this weekend. So I'm going to get into that. As always, the tides that I read off are for Estero Bay, Big Carlos. So make sure you check the tide stations closest to you because it can vary. Low tide was this morning at 5:56 a.m., right around 6 o'clock, and that was just slightly over a foot and a half at 1.7. So you should be out there right now basically fishing that incoming until about 12:30, and then high tide's going to be right around 12:57, right around 1 o'clock, and that's right around 3.5 feet, 3.5, and then low tide is going to be this evening at 8:50, and that's negative 0.4. So that outgoing, right around, I mean, your best moving water is probably going to be 2 p.m. right around till 8:30. So it's just a few inches shy of 4 feet of moving water on that outgoing this afternoon. I mean, it's really dumping on that outgoing tide. So if you can dodge the storms and get out there and take advantage of that,
that's a great huge tide swing.
Definitely. And then kind of a similar situation for tomorrow. So for Sunday, Low tide is going to be tomorrow morning, 6:58 a.m., right around 7, a foot and a half, 1.6. So, and then high tide, 1:47 in the afternoon, that's 3.4. So again, fishing that incoming tomorrow morning around about 7:30, 8 a.m. until about 1 or 1:30 is going to be your best moving water. And then the outgoing for tomorrow, right around about 2:30 in the afternoon until 8:30, 9 p.m., about 3.5 feet of moving water. Again, that high tide is going to be right around 1:47 in the afternoon, 3.4, low tide 9:27 p.m., and that's negative 0.2. So again, you've got like 3.5 feet of moving water on that outgoing tide. So get out there, take advantage of it. Red tide report for today, for this weekend. In southwest Florida over the past week, Carina Brevis observed at low to high concentrations in and offshore of Pinellas, background to medium in Hillsborough, background to high in Manatee, low to high concentrations in Sarasota County, background to low in Charlotte, and background to low in Lee. So things are looking good for Lee County, Charlotte County in this area, but we know the situation up near, up and around Tampa Clearwater is less than desirable. So hopefully we start to see some improvement there. There were fish kills suspected to be related to red tide reported in Hernando, Pinellas, Hillsborough, Manatee, Sarasota, and Lee counties over the past week, and respiratory irritation related to red tide was reported. So that's the scoop on that. So Steve, what did you think of some of the new products? I know the show is probably, I'm guessing, about a third of the size of what it's been in the years past, just due to the times that we're living in these days. But was there any specific product that kind of stood out to you as being really, really cool and innovative this year?
Well, you know, it's I work at Lear's Economy Tackle on a couple of days on the weekends. And one thing that kind of blew us away, and this is kind of a mechanical type of thing, but they had a new line machine out, and that's when people buy rods or buy reels, particularly putting the line on with a proper machine is everything, especially when you're loading some of the bigger reels and even your bait casters and a lot of those. If you don't have that line, particularly the braid, if you don't have it packed down in there properly and loaded correctly, the line's not going to cast properly. When you hook a nice fish, it'll want to tend to bury itself. So having a proper machine to put that line on is everything. So a lot of people don't realize that. They'll buy their line in a box somewhere at a store and just kind of spool it on there themselves. The way that line comes off of the reel that you're putting it onto is a big factor. It has to go on there in a proper way it turns onto the spool itself, so yeah, that everything's not twisted up, and having it packed tight and proper is a big deal. And they had a really cool line machine, and Mike Wester and I and Dan were looking at it, and it's designed for big Penn International reels and things like that. That's very difficult to line those reels, and I know a lot of the big offshore guys that use some of this bigger tackle struggle to find places that put that line onto those reels properly. So we were taking a big look at that machine. It was something that was newer, and it was a great design. We were kind of looking at that. That was one of the bigger things that we looked at. And there were several other smaller things that we looked at, too. Blair Wiggins from Addictive Fishing, he's got a new company out. They've got a couple of new products out. One of them was a band that goes around the spool of the leader, and the line comes up through this band and keeps the line from unraveling off the spool. I mean, we always have trouble with the leader spools and trying to keep the covers on them and keep the line.
Oh, my gosh,
line.
Drives me nuts. And you were showing me that before the show, and that's a really cool little product.
Yeah, it has a little cutter on it. It's like a band, like you said, like a hair band. It just wraps around it, but it keeps the line up through the band so that the line doesn't pop off to the side of it and unravel. You know, you drop it down the hatch and you don't have to worry about it unraveling all over the place. Or if somebody else is using it on the boat that doesn't familiar with it, they pop the cover off and just toss it back in. So it keeps it maintained very well. It's a very simple design. And it just holds that line in there tight, and it's got a little cutter on the end. I thought it works pretty cool. And those are some of the little things that we look at for the store to maybe bring in and sell to the customers some of these new designs and things that are simple and kind of unique. So those are some of the things that we look for when we go into these shows.
And Steve, do you remember like the line machine that you guys are looking at? How much does something like that run?
You're in the range.
Is there a price point on
it? Yeah,
the
price point's roughly around $3,000.
Wow.
For a machine like that.
So, I mean, that's a big investment for a tackle shop, for
right,
sure.
Right, right. That's not something the average fisherman's going to buy.
Right.
I mean, you don't reline your reels, you know, every month. So, you know, but when you do that, whether it be, you know, your 4,000, 5,000 spinning reels or whatever it might be, having that line put on professionally can make a huge, huge difference in the way it casts and the way it performs out there when you're fishing.
Yeah. And one of the things that I know a lot of questions come up during the show, when will most of the retailers be able to get these products? And most of them will not be available and in stores until this winter. So usually it's right before the holidays.
Right. Yeah. On the new products particularly, they like to show them off at these shows. ICAST is basically a show designed with manufacturers bringing their goods and wares into this show to show to the retailers on what's coming available. Now, like you said, this stuff is not in stock. A lot of it is prototype. Some of it's still working the bugs out of it. So this stuff typically is oftentimes 6 months to a year out before they'll even have it on the market and available for the retail.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Well, we've got Mr. Nick Davis standing by on line one. So I'm going to hop on over to the phones this morning and grab his call. Hey, Nick, good morning. Hey, Nick, good morning. Hello?
Did we lose you, Nick?
Are you there? We might have lost him.
Might have lost him.
Yeah, I can hear some static in the background. But yeah, so anyway, well, I'm sure he'll call back in, or we'll get him eventually here.
Yeah, but ICAST, all the different manufacturers, whether it be the big reel companies like Shimano, Loomis, St. Croix, all the rod builders, they all bring their goods in there to show to the... It's primarily designed for the retailer, which was what the show was originally made for, so that the retailers would come in, place orders for all these products. Even their regular products that they order on an annual basis, they would typically give them what we call show prices, and they would give them a much better price for bulk items that would be distributed throughout the year. So that was what it was primarily designed for. It's expanded a little bit into a lot of other different things, so a lot of other organizations have gotten involved to make it even better.
Yeah, well, we'll get more into that, because I printed off a list of some of the winners from all the different new product showcase,
right.
And the best in show was a little bit of a change up this year.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that here in a minute. All right, I think we got Nick back here on the line.
I hope this works. He said he could hear us, but we weren't hearing him. So I let's try this again. I hope it works.
No one came in and said the B word this morning.
Nope, we have not had any B
words
uttered.
Better not be. All right, here we go. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Captain Debbie, how are we?
Yes!
There he is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Steve, are you there?
Hallelujah.
I'm out in the dark if you can hear me.
We're here. How's it going?
It's going great. It's going great, especially, I mean, the lines of communication have been restored here first thing on a Saturday. The coffee is flowing. ICAST is behind us and in the rear view. Like, all is well with the world.
Yes, and you had a fly tying night this past week, from what I remember, correct? How did that go?
We did. We had a heck of a fly tying night. It was a real good one. It was, you know, we had a really good turnout. I want to say about 30, 35 people showed up. Table was packed. We had some old furniture in the shop from, you know, if you've been in 239 Flies, you can kind of get an idea of, you know, how big it is. If you haven't been in there, It's large enough that we have our old furniture that we're no longer using in the back, and no one really notices it's there. I took a couple of the old cash register podiums and I converted them into like a stand up fly tying area that we needed, because we had that many people tying. So I was like, this is great. Like, fly tying is expanded beyond like just me and like two other people that are doing it. So like, this is awesome.
Well, that's great to hear. It's fantastic to hear.
It's catching on, this whole fly fishing and fly tying thing. Definitely bummed that the IFTD, the fly fishing portion of ICAST, is no longer with ICAST. It's a whole nother convention now.
Right.
Because it used to be a lot of fun when those two things were together and those two like worlds were meshed.
Yeah, and now they moved IFTD out to Colorado, didn't they, Nick, from what I understand?
It's actually in Salt Lake City this year.
Okay.
And it's real tricky. Like Steve was saying, you know, like a lot of the manufacturers, they don't have their current products because of, you know, production woes and logistical problems of COVID. And they're still, you know, they're 6 months, a year behind on, you know, their products from last year. So, you know, throwing an ICAST and having new products come to the market and producing those products is going to get real tricky. So, yeah, let's all just grab some popcorn and stay patient. See what goes. See what happens with all this nonsense.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly what we've got to do. When is IFTD, Nick? Is that coming up sometime in the near future?
Yeah, I think it's in October.
Yeah.
I probably won't be going, but nonetheless, it is. I want to say it's in October, and it's a lot smaller now that, you know, the it's not like conjoined with joined up with ICAST.
Yeah.
It was fun. Like I used to love going to those conventions, and I'm sure it is still fun. Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like everyone's like, okay, like we've done our work for the day, like let's roll out the coolers.
Yeah.
And then it's a party till 4 a.m.
There is definitely the happy hour mode that comes on right around 4, 3:30, 4.
Lasts longer than the actual show. It's great.
If you've got a booth with a frosty beverage, you've got a crowd. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
That is the best way to bring awareness to your brand at those conventions.
That'll always bring a line
in. With a brewery or a distillery or a somethingery, and you're gonna have you'll have fans in a hurry.
Yep. Any fishing reports, Nick? Have you heard any scoop from the guys or from Sharon and EJ? Anybody been out there this past week?
I have, actually. So I've been walking the beach, and tons of fish on the beach, like the report of last week and the week before that.
Yeah.
There are still fish on the beach. The winds change directions, and it's a little tougher to do now. Like, we need that east wind to come back. But until that happens, you know, since that's happened, the beach has been good. Went up to Sanibel yesterday with Captain Chris Connett from the shop. Fished with him for the first time on the boat, which was a lot of fun. We went up to Sanibel and fished a completely different world than I'm used to. Saw like schools of redfish and gin clear water and turtle grass and actual sea turtles and marine life. I was like, check this place out. Like, what do y'all got going up here? caught a nice Pine Island Sound redfish on fly, which is, you know, tough to beat. I was pretty excited about that one. Had another, you know, 30-incher follow it to the boat and just,
nice.
You know, be a Pine Island redfish and say, nope, I'm good. Bye.
Yeah.
Finicky critters they are. Yeah, that's been the report. Pat and Nick got out yesterday and caught a couple of really good snook down south, and Drew's been on them. I haven't talked to Cody this week, but I'm sure he'll call later. And, like, you know Cody's been on them, so... If you want to catch some fish on fly, swing in the shop today. Captain Cody Pierce will be there with me, 10 to 4.
Yeah, absolutely. Stop in and see those guys. So, Nick, what were you using? What kind of flies have you been using for the reds?
You know, the redfish, actually, the redfish that ate yesterday was on a black and purple minnow right before the sun came. Well, the sun had come up, but it was still really kind of low light, you know, right around this same time, you know, a little cloud cover. You know, when the water's dark or the wind is, you know, the lighting conditions are
low
dark.
Light conditions.
Throw dark flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw dark flies so that they stand out against the background or the sky a little bit more. You know, it's a more pronounced silhouette.
Yep.
And then as the sun got higher in the sky and the water got clearer and the fish got, you know, smarter and more finicky, downsized to smaller white minnows and had a lot of follows all the way up to the boat. And then now I'm good.
But yeah, well,
got follows to the boat.
Hey, it's good to see them. You know they're there. So You can always go back.
Exactly, and that's a product of the environment. They're just a little bit smarter up here than they are down south. So, you know, they just get a little. They see a few more shrimp under popping corks along the San Rafael Causeway than they do down south. So,
yeah.
But nonetheless, there was plenty of fish around. We saw hundreds of redfish. Saw a couple of schools of redfish. You know, saw some good ones and twosies on the snook. And they were, you know, for the most part, they were eating, you know, like we caught a couple small snook on a nice redfish and, you know, just, you know, had a nice little day. So there's some fish around. If you like fishing, you should go fishing. It's a good time to do it.
So are you sight fishing most of those, Nick, or are you blind casting some?
No, like 99% of the time we're going to sight fish. Just, you know, look for them. Kind of why we went to Sanibel.
Looking for the cleaner water.
Sanibel, you know, for the clear water,
yeah.
And you know the tide wasn't quite right in the other places, and the wind wasn't quite right for the beach. So,
gotcha.
You know, like, oh, let's go check out Sanibel. But yeah, once you can, you know, put a fly in a Coke can from about 40 feet, all you ever want to do is sight fish whatever it is you're going to catch. So, luckily the conditions were right to do that in a few spots yesterday, and we got to do a lot of that, which was fun.
Yeah, awesome. With the calmer winds, right. It's a little bit easier to do that. Water's not as churned up.
There's nothing better than sight fishing a Pine Island redfish on a fly rod. They're just. I mean, hopefully catching a Belizean permit on a fly rod is one step up from that. But we'll cross that bridge here very, very shortly.
It just might be. Yeah, that's exciting
just
stuff.
Might be.
Can't wait to hear your report when you guys get back. But
next week, I'll have one heck of a report for you, Captain Debbie.
Woohoo! Look forward to it. Look forward to it.
Yep.
All right, Nick. Well, thanks so much for calling in and for the update. We certainly appreciate it. You have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Steve, Debbie, you guys have a great week.
Take care, too. Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Mr. Nick Davis with 239 Flies in the Beach Road Plaza off Bonita Beach Road. We're going to head off to our first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
So many fish in the ocean, rivers and lakes, back bays and estuaries, here in the sunshine.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson.
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going over there, Steve?
Awesome. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Phone and text lines are open, guys. Go ahead and give us a call. Send us a text. 239-337-ESPN. That's 239-337-3776. So, yeah, Steve, you've been winding down a little bit on the tournament circuit, right? You were fishing some redfish tournaments. Things kind of slow down a little bit during the month of July, right? Then in August, you kind of kick back up again?
Yeah, tournaments in general typically slow down in late June, July. They'll start kind of back up kind of in the middle of August. Not that there's not tournaments going on. It's just a lot of the bigger tournaments typically don't put them on for several reasons. The heat is one. The fish kind of get a little bit more lethargic, and obviously the fishing is typically better spring and fall than it is midsummer. Not that you can't catch fish in the summertime, you can, and there are some tournaments. It's just not as widely spread as normal.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we all know about pumpkins in the fall, right? And Absolutely. Red October, which is around the corner.
Yep. We're all headed for that.
Yeah. So is your next tournament going to be here locally?
My next tournament will be a Flassmaster Series tournament, and it'll be in the middle of August, and that's out of Punta Gorda.
Yep.
And that's always a great series. Some of the series have struggled a little bit, and one with the pandemics and stuff like that. These tournaments have had a hard time. A lot of them had to postpone, reschedule. They've had sponsorship problems, things like that, just like anybody else. And so some of them have struggled, and a lot of them are just kind of now getting back on their feet a little bit and getting things rolling again.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of updates given the fact that you're posting all the information on fish-florida.com. So I'm sure a lot of the tournament directors get in touch with you and let you know about all the changes, obviously, because they want to make sure that all their information is up to date.
Yeah, and I try to keep up to it as best we can at fish-florida.com. And like I say, a lot of them have to move things around for logistical issues. So, you know, always keep up to date with it. Go to fish-florida.com, look it up, follow the tournaments, and if you're interested in them, get involved.
Yeah. So, Steve, how did you come up with the idea for the website?
Well, it was one of these deals where we fish tournaments all over the state. We actually travel out of the state sometimes as far as Louisiana.
Yeah.
And it was for the state of Florida, there was no one set location that you could go to and find all the tournaments. And this is saltwater tournaments that I'm referring to. We're unfortunately not into the freshwater bass tournaments at this point. Those are even more overwhelming. But all the saltwater tournaments throughout the state of Florida, there was no one location that was out there that you could click on and find out what's going on. So we developed Fish-Florida website, and it's been very, very successful. We have anywhere from 6,000 to 9,000 people a month going to that website. It's been done very, very well for us. And I know there's been some other websites that have had tournament schedules up, and they're typically more local ones, but nobody had one for the entire state. So we developed fish-florida.com, and it's done well.
Yeah, and that's got to take you quite a bit of work to keep that updated on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, it's a lot more work than we thought. you know, we thought more people would send us the information, and they do. A lot of the tournament directors keep us up to date, but we have to do a lot of digging on our own to find out these smaller local tournaments and get them posted up there as well.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. So yeah, we were talking about some of the products from ICAST and kind of getting back into the ICAST conversation here. I know I mentioned a little bit about the best in show was the Berkley Powerbait Gilly, which is basically just a soft bluegill-shaped bait that's infused with the flavor of the powerbait and the scent of the powerbait, and that captured the top honors in the new product showcase this year. So I'm sure if you go online, all the press releases were being sent out over the past couple of days, so you can see pictures of that bait. But it has an exceptionally realistic look, and it has like a hollow head, and then the tail gives it like a really lifelike action. And I know the hollow head sort of collapses, I guess, when the fish bites into it. So pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. And then, of course, I know, Steve, you and I were talking about the Zeppelin, which is the shark deterrent tackle that was in the new product showcase. That actually won the best terminal tackle product. And I think it retails for like $70.
Yeah, I believe it was somewhere
and
in that
range. Basically like a 6.5 ounce, like it's a magnet, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And you just use it in place of a sinker. Or attach it to a carabiner and drop it down when you're bottom fishing, and it gives off some kind of magnetic
frequency
field that basically deters the sharks.
Yeah.
And there's some cool video online I've seen where they've actually tested it
yeah.
out there too. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So when you catch your fish, it tries to keep those sharks away, keep them off the fish, so that you don't lose them from sharks.
So that you're not paying the tax man.
Right. Which we've all done.
Yes. Yeah, we have, unfortunately. Yep. But, was there anything else? I know you brought up that product. I don't know if we had a chance to really get into it. The sunglass holder.
Yep.
That Blair Wiggins, you had mentioned, is coming out with.
Started a new company, and it's called BBT. And he's got a couple new products out, and one of them is a product called Retracts. And it's a, we've all seen the retainers that we put on our sunglasses that come back. We, some guys even took heavy monofilament line, would drill holes in the ends of their glasses and put the monofilament through. And there's tons and tons of different ones out there, and some that manually have a little slider on them that you can tighten them up and loosen them down. This is a spring-loaded, it's a stainless steel made for salt water, and it has a stainless steel button on the middle of it, and it has different levels, and you basically push the button and you can kind of retract it back and leave it open, or you can just push it and it closes up and it rests against the back of your head. It's very comfortable. It's not like it's putting pressure on your head or anything like that, and that way it's not sticking out the back behind you. I've noticed a lot of them that I've had, the more the wire ones and some even the cloth ones, they'll hang up on things when you're walking around the boat. You catch it on a pole or line or something, and it pulls on you. And this one folds and kind of retracts back and forth into the small device, and looks like it's kind of unique. It's I think it's going to retail for like seven.
Did they have samples of them at the show?
They did. Actually, unfortunately, yeah. They wouldn't give me one.
Well, come on.
I know. I begged and begged. And they said, no, we don't even have them manufactured yet. So this is another one of those items that's out there that's not quite ready. But, no, they're going to retail for $23.95.
Yeah.
Did
it have, like, a little cushion on the back part of it that rests up against your head, Steve? Did you notice?
It did not have a little cushion, but I put it on, and you can't even feel it back there. There's no...
Really lightweight.
It's really lightweight. When it's completely contracted, it's not putting pressure, like it's not pulling on the back of your head. It's just resting there. So I just thought it was quite unique, and I think it's going to do well.
Yeah, because I have to say, from my perspective, having long hair, it's really annoying. That's one of the reasons I don't use sunglass holders a lot of the time, is because they get tangled up in my hair. So I'll have to check into that when it actually...
Yeah, see,
it's,
I have
out there on the market.
I have prescription Costa sunglasses, and when you have prescriptions done by Costa, they do a very, very great job on their performance of the actual prescription. But they're very expensive, so the last thing you want is somebody knocking them off you and losing them in the water.
Yeah,
and you know, everybody's lost some sunglasses in the water before, but when you lose prescription ones that are really pricey, you can kind of
bring
really
tears
to your eyes.
You're really feeling that pain. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, it was awesome. I had the opportunity to, it's actually the second time I've had the opportunity to get out and fish the Disney lakes. So takemefishing.org has a partnership with Disney, and you can actually get out on the water. We just went out on Thursday for a quick morning trip. It was 2 hours, but a lot of people don't realize when you go to Disney, you can actually get out on some of those lakes and fish, and the bass fishing is phenomenal. So in most cases, when they're taking families out, they use shiners, but we actually used a combination of shiners and soft plastics. Basically, we're just using Senkos, but we caught, there was three of us on the boat. We fished from like 10 until noon on Thursday, and we must have caught well over 30 fish.
So
at least
do they supply
fish.
The guides and stuff for people?
Yep. You fish on
the public can't just go out and fish there.
No, you've got to make a reservation in advance. And yeah, the public cannot fish there. We departed from the Contemporary Resort. So yeah, you just got to make sure you call, you make that reservation in advance. And you can go to takemefishing.org, and they've got a link to all the information on their website. But so much fun. I mean, it's really neat being out there, and Space Mountain, the Contemporary Resort, the Polynesian are all in the background. And the lakes are just, it's phenomenal, phenomenal fishing.
Yeah, takemefishing.org is a big sponsor for ICAST as well.
Yeah, they were the main sponsor this year. Yep. And they're really active as far as promoting, you know, diversity and getting more women involved in the industry. They've got a Women Making Waves initiative they organized actually an event during the show and had a lot of ladies in the industry get together for a meetup and an influencer trip. So it's great. It's great what they're doing. And they always put out a lot of really helpful information every year as far as the demographics and where we're seeing areas of growth in the industry. So yeah, definitely a great organization, really good resources for people too on fishing on their website. But yeah, the Disney fishing experience was really, really a blast. Really good time. I highly recommend it to anyone if they're going up there. They don't do, I know they used to do boat rentals and some water sports on the lakes, but all of that has stopped due to COVID. So they're just keeping the fishing trips running. But like I said, for 2 hours, you're catching plenty of fish. At first, I was like, 2 hours? That's not enough time.
I need half a day.
There's no way that's enough time. But it was plenty of time to get out there and catch fish.
So there's a lot of great things that happen in the background at ICAST as well. It's not all just right at the show. There's a lot of manufacturers put a lot of different events together in the show. And then there's a lot of things going on outside as well. There's a lot of kayak equipment out there that people use on the lakes and a lot of other things that are going on there as well.
Yeah, they have the ICAST Cup, which is the bass tournament that they hold on Tuesday. Well, this year it was on Tuesday before the show. And then they do the ICAST on the water, which is where they do a lot of the kayak demos. And
they've got all the
paddleboard demos.
The tents set up and tons of new stuff down there as well.
Yeah. So it's definitely quite the event, and it was great to see people and catch up after what feels like has been a very, very long time.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You get to see a lot of people that you don't always run into, and you know, a lot of the different manufacturers and reps and people that you like to see, and as well as all the new things.
Yep, definitely. All right, well, we're going to get ready to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Cross the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my special guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson with Fish Dash Florida. Hey, Steve.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Fresh back from ICAST here in the studio. Go ahead and send us a text. Give us a call. Get a hold of us. Either way, we want to hear what you've been out there catching this week, because Steve and I were not out on the water. Well, I was out catching bass in Orlando, but not here locally. So, yeah, let us know what you've been on. We're going to actually head over to line one, because we've got Captain Greg Stamper standing by.
I need to get a new one, too, Mom.
Hey, Captain Greg.
1 second. Got to put on another bait.
Oh, yes, of course you do.
Fish on.
Here's the play-by-play. Here we go.
All right, we just let go of tarpon number two.
Oh,
nice.
We are we're 2 for 4 this morning.
Awesome job.
We're going to keep doing it until they stop eating. This overcast is really helping out the cause today, which is an important part of the factor for these juvenile tarpon.
Yeah,
and,
good deal.
Yeah, the bite's good this morning, so we're doing real well, and it's exciting to see these guys catch their first fish, tarpon.
Using thread fins, Greg?
No, I'm fishing juvies. I'm using pins today.
Okay.
Small pins, you know, give me a 2-inch pin fish under a nice cork so I can see that strike, and it works out pretty good for us.
Juveniles are always a lot more fun.
That's right.
Fun. We're gonna go for the big boys tomorrow. I got the same group tomorrow, so I'm getting them used to the bow to the king. And tomorrow we'll go after some of them 120 pounders and see what happens with those guys. Luckily, we've caught plenty of catfish, so I'll use those tails tomorrow.
There you go. So today's the warm up, and tomorrow's the big time. Tomorrow's the major leagues.
Yeah. Yesterday we did snook and trout, and you know, caught some ladies and stuff as well. But today we went after. We decided we'd wake up super early and come out here and be in front of these fish while they were waking up. And feed them some breakfast.
Yeah, well, and speaking of breakfast, thanks for the pastelitos this morning.
No, not a problem at all. Enjoy. Enjoy.
And Greg, so what were you using for the snook and the trout yesterday, and what size on those fish were you seeing out there?
I was using cut bait yesterday. You know, I think we've talked about this in the past, but when it gets hot out, cut baits really, really can do you a good favor, because not only do they stink and they're a little bloody and they smell, but those fish get a little lethargic. This water temperature is getting upwards towards 90 degrees, which is bath water, and they're not going to be putting a lot of effort in there when it starts getting that hot, especially if the sun's out. And yesterday the bite was a little bit tougher. They weren't really fired up by any means, but we still were able to get a couple fish in the boat, and that's why we're starting early this morning. Get done early, and we'll do the same tomorrow, because the snook bite's been good, and the redfish bite from most of the guys that have been trying has not been all that awesome. Kind of like, I think the snook and the redfish are doing a little timeshare swap this week. So if you're going to be fishing and you're going to target something, probably snook's the way to go. The redfish bite just hasn't been all that awesome this week for most of the guys. A few have caught a couple of nice fish, but still they're all those upper slot, over slot fish. There's no rat reds to be found. Your bobber's down, real.
You fish mostly south, don't you, Greg?
Say again?
You fish mostly south of the marina?
I fish the whole bay. It just depends on what I'm trying to do, and you know what we're trying to accomplish.
I didn't know if you ran up to Pine Island Sound area much or not.
No, I used to fish that whole area. I know it very well. It's just for me, that's a long run. If I'm only going to do a 4 hour, if I do something 6 hours or a full day, then I can go play up in those areas. But for the most part, for me, I want to get them on fish quickly, catch fish, and get them back, you know, without having to blow 30, 40 minutes of my day on a run.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, and Greg, you mentioned those warm water temperatures. So, as always, I know we've reminded folks about this in the past, but keep those fights short and remember to resuscitate those fish, because with those temperatures being, you know, darn close to 90 degrees, it's necessary when you're releasing those fish. So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for the play-by-play. We won't keep you.
Yeah, other than that, we're just going to try and catch a few more before we get done. Looks like the tide's about to flip on us, so this moving water ought to get them fired up again. As long as I keep this overcast, I'm in good shape.
All right. Well, go get them. Have a great day, Greg. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Tight lines.
All right. Take care.
See you, Greg.
Bye. All right, and we're going to actually head right on over to line two, because we got the Cerro Bay report from Greg. Now we're heading down to the 10,000 Islands with Captain Jim Fortman. Hey, Captain Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all making out today?
We're doing fantastic.
Good morning.
Just trying to regain our bearings after a busy week at ICAST, but we're back. And what's going on in your neck of the woods? How's the fishing been down there?
Well, the fishing's been pretty good, surprisingly, with the water getting up to about 88 and about 90 degrees by about 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
The trout bite has been on fire on the outside. So we've been targeting them with soft plastics. They've been very handy. They're not really going after them on top water, but they are hitting them out closer to the bottom, which is where the cooler water is.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing ledges, you know, basically a ledge in our area is anywhere where it goes from 2 feet to 4 feet. So, yeah. And then the tarpon have been quite frequent this last week. There's been a lot of tarpon on the outside flats. They're ranging between 30 and 50 pounds. And if you get out to about 10 feet of water to 15 feet of water on the outside, there have been some that have been going over 100. So.
And what have you been using for the tarpon lately?
Well,
Jim,
tarpon for us, it's been basically the luck of the draw with, you know, clients basically been hooking them on bucktail shrimp,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, Zoom Super Fluke,
yep,
which has basically been matching the hatch on that. And, you know, this, because we still have an abundance of fry that is pretty much everywhere down in our area. The mullet are finally starting to get a little bit bigger, so That's a good plus. If anybody needs to do some live baiting, that there's been some finger mullet that have been running around on the flats on a high tide. So,
what size of the trout are you seeing mostly, Jim?
Most of the trout we've been seeing have been 15 to 19 inches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there actually have been quite an abundance. We usually, you know, it's this time of year we're used to getting a lot of smaller ones, but we've actually been seeing some come in that have been a lot bigger, and even some of them over the slot size that, you know, that we have down in our area. It's not, this time of year, it's not uncommon to get one. It's 24 inches that we've seen in the last 2 weeks. My clients last week lost just an absolute pig, and that one was well over 26 inches.
Wow. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome
and then
stuff.
The snook, just like Greg was saying, cut bait, when that water tart starts to get a little hot, that's pretty much what the snook have been hitting on. Not saying much about the reds because I have not seen a red in the last 4 days that I was on the water. It's because they have just basically disappeared or they've gone lockjaw, one of the two. But the snook have been in the areas where the snook have been. You know, it's getting up close to the shorelines on the mangroves, getting it in any area where the shade is actually around us, because that's what the fish are looking for right now is shade.
Right up against those mangroves,
yeah,
right?
And we've been fortunate this week that we've had real high water in my area, where they've actually, on the high tide, which has been coming in right around 11 o'clock, they're just getting up underneath those trees.
Mm-hmm.
So it has just been an absolute nightmare for guides trying to get fish out of underneath the trees. So a tip for that, by the way, if anybody's listening, you get a fish up by the trees, put your rod tip in the water.
Yeah. Yep. You got to get that rod tip down and get them out of there. Turn their heads.
Pull in the opposite direction.
Yes, definitely.
Have you been hearing any reports down Chekalovsky, Everglades City, Jim?
It's been the same.
About the same.
They're fishing the outside flats, anything south of Picnic Key. It's been, in general, a really good bite. Actually, I heard a report out of Ramrod, where they were saying that they're now starting to see schooling redfish down there, which, wow, I was like, what? They haven't seen that in a while.
Awesome.
The water's been getting better down south. I do know that they're having a lot of the smaller trout way to the south of Cape Sable.
Mm-hmm.
But the fishing in general in the area, it's been basically, when I get out early, 10:30, 11 o'clock, if you're finding the bite starting to shut off, it's because the water's already hit 88.6 degrees, which is what's been the common, and the fish just kind of get lockjaw. They just want something basically floating that one of the sharks, you know, basically ate and left a piece behind for them. So, and there have been a lot of sharks in the area lately, so I would recommend no one swimming right now in my area.
That's always a good tip.
No, we've been seeing a lot of skyrocketing spinner sharks this week. I mean, it's been quite the show on the outside flats where these spinner sharks are coming in, and it's just basic mayhem first thing in the morning, where you got ladyfish and trout, and they're hitting on these little, you know, basically what we're calling basically rain baits or micro baits, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Still haven't been able to identify them. They're not glass minnows. That's the one thing we do know. But they've been just, you know, everywhere, and then these spinner sharks just come in there, and they're just crashing on the ladyfish, and it's just been, yeah, basic mayhem between 8 o'clock and by 10. And then everything just kind of goes to quiet. You know, the tide comes in, the water starts raising up, and, you know, it's just, you know, starts to shut down. But I tell you what, the rains have been really helping out in my area, because as soon as those rains go by, if anybody's an afternoon fisherman, if you can get out by the creek mouths as rains come through, we get a big heavy dumping, and then the tarpon and the snook back in the very back
around
the river creeks.
They are just on fire
at that time. I know Ben, my stepson's been getting out there this week, and he's been jumping, you know, 10 to 15 pound tarpon back and forth. I know a couple of guys at the marina that have been doing it pretty heavily. So
awesome. So much fun.
And it's right on that fall of that tide. You know, if anybody, you know, follows the rivers down there, when that tide switches and starts going out, you got the fresh water and the salt water mixing. Cools the water, like yesterday, we're coming back in. We got a little soaked, you know, but that water temperature in the river literally went from, it was 90 degrees at the mouth. By the time we got closer to the marina up the river, the water temperature had dropped to about 87 degrees. And then the rain started coming in, and it cooled it down even more. So,
yeah, well, Captain Jim, thanks for the great report. We got to get ready to head off to another break, but fantastic report.
Oh,
hey, thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, Steve, hold on a second, but there is a fishing tournament coming up. It's for the Esquadrian, I think, center down here in Naples that helps out people.
Roughly, when is that, Jim?
It's going to be in October.
Okay.
So I wanted to take a look at it. It's their first annual. So if they haven't contacted you guys yet, I told them to get in touch with you guys.
I appreciate
it. It's basically a promo tournament to help out that that facility. So.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks for the update, Jim. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of the weekend. Take care. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That is Captain Jim Foreman. The 10,000 Islands, backwaterfishingnaples.net. We're heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
I like the way this salty, warm breeze feels. As I make another cast with this old rotten reel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.